It really matters. For in my heart, instead of outer things, Jesus told God what we do not see. About our hearts and our loving ways. And Father, give us our carnal desire. Move in your power, but not in the light. Love our neighbor with all that we have. And to thy throne. We have not. We've got hearts with the things that we do. With sweet joy and tears, we will reap in joy. We might have the truth, your divine desire. Brokenness awaits on the other side.
Wow, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Dr. Shirley and Dr. Jeffrey Caddis here. And we have WSCIRO, which is part of our ministry. The words stand for Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. We're actually, we found out today, we were awakened with a rude awakening that at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we thought we were on because that's what we selected. And I guess it were under American Samoan time. So their 11 o'clock a.m. is actually 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And in about an hour, we're going to have our friend Karen Meisner, who is a managing editor of Messianic Times. She's also has extensive experience in Hollywood as a producer. But her current job right now on her resume is she's a managing editor of Messianic Times. She's also edits for us every once in a while, and she's always volunteering her expertise. and it's very welcomed, and I suggest anybody who needs an editor, you know, Cam, I'm pretty sure Karen will give you her email when she comes on, but we'll let her do that. And she's been a good friend over the years, and it's and across the mile. It's so funny how God gave me a good friend through Karen, and she's not just like a friend; she's a sister. Yeah.
Through the computer.
Through the computer, and through email. But we'll talk about how God put us together, and she'll be coming on around 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and if you're from the West Coast, that'll be roughly 4 p.m. We're 3 hours ahead of California, and 6 hours, I believe, ahead of the American Samoan, whatever that means, wherever that is. So, well, you just heard, we open up with, let's see, because the Lord is singing this through my mind and heart, Kevin Proch, and he's from the 90s. But very much into revival, and that song that just opened up our show is called Break Our Hearts, okay? And, you know, that's what has to happen in order for the Lord to come rushing on in there, because when our hearts are broken, that means a whole lot. It means that we're not full of self anymore, you know, and the Lord can take up residence in our hearts. So residence and residence with his presence as we get out of the way. So, well, anyway, this is a two-hour broadcast, and we're still in the fundraising season of Sea Christian Teaching and Worship Center. That's the ministry that sponsors WSCIRO and WSTKI-TV, and we have not a new outreach for autism, because autism is very close to my heart, and my son has it, but we have autism outreach to families who are faith-based, raising autistic children, and someone from Facebook had mentioned that they would like to pray for me and my son and our family, because they were raising an autistic, they had raised an autistic son who is now in college. And I thought, you know, as I was reading this request, I was thinking,
did you say he's in college now?
Yeah, he's in college, yeah.
Does that mean some of them recover
enough to go to school? Yeah.
The abilities to work.
Yeah, well, there is
they're high learners anyway, but
several, right, there's several on the autistic continuum spectrum. It's actually a spectrum disorder, also known, you know, among educators as the pervasive developmental scale. It can include, but not be limited to, the different levels of autism, but maybe Asperger's syndrome, which is another kind of, it's like more like a social communication disorder, where, you know, there's a lot of things going on with an individual, but they seem to be able to adapt to society, but have a very hard time with human relationships and just where they fit, you know. So they often do not see reality the way that the average person would. Right? Yeah.
Right,
yeah, feel free to interject any time, honey. But anyways, I just want to begin by lifting up the show to the Lord, and I would just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, just come, fill us anew with your, you know, power, with your grace, with your mercy, with your joy, with your healing, with your love, Lord, for without these, we can do nothing. And we ask that you would fill our friends and family on YouTube that listen to this broadcast and Facebook and wherever else you reside in the Lord's kingdom and the world. Of course, we are not of this world, but we are living in it, and we're supposed to bring the kingdom of the Lord, kingdom of God, to the earth and we occupy the territory. But we ask, Lord, that you would just touch them and you would move among the people, just move and fill them, Lord, and use them and refine their characters, refine their hearts. Lord, make their spirit one with you. Give them a new heart, Lord, so that you can trust them with the dictates of the kingdom, Lord. Let them know. Give them a fresh perspective, new perspective of who they are in you and how you would want to work through them, through their lives, so they can be the difference that makes the difference in this life. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whoa. Hallelujah. Just touch your people, Lord. Oh, fill them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, freedom from fear. Ooh, shabba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Allows us to come closer to you.
Yes.
And we just thank you, Lord, and we glorify your name, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Praise you, Jesus.
Make us more docile to your spirit, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Amen.
Lord, do a new thing in your people. Do a new thing, especially in the families that are raising autistic children. You know, as you guessed it, the theme of this is going to be called the Joshua Connection, okay? Because one of our fundraising endeavors is that we would like to raise funds, okay, to implement in the churches, you know, to create autistic networks in churches or just develop a model where all the churches can adopt. We can't go to every church. But we can write a book about what can be done, and we could speak at different places. People can come to Facebook and join us. We are going to have a PAL Talk Joshua Connection prayer group where we will be able to interact live. We already have it for our school and ministry in the form of study group, and we'll talk more about that in another show. But right now, I just want to just be very specific and very focused on why we are doing a broadcast today. And it's only going to be an hour of this, and then my friend Karen will come on an hour, because I want to introduce you to her, because in another broadcast, we are going to talk more about the Ministry of Pro-Life. She's been writing with a friend of hers who is connected to a gal in Israel who has a very powerful pro-life ministry. We want to talk about FOCA and what that means and what people can do to voice their opinions, to voice their heart, the heart of the Lord, not just opinion, but the heart of the Lord. But I just want to focus on Joshua. My son, Joshua Francis, was born January 27, 1992. And he was born in adverse circumstances. Thank God for the marriage that the Lord's blessed me, the real marriage that he has for me, which is actually with him and then the husband that he gives us, hopefully is following the Lord, and you become evenly yoked and one in him. But I was in a situation that was not of the Lord, but I did conceive of this wonderful child, Joshua, who is now a young man, 17 years ago. And when he was 2.5 years old, he was diagnosed with infantile autism. He started having bizarre behavior patterns, and just, you know, people were wondering, well, he's normal 1 minute, and what's going on? He's got this extraordinary human strength. Certain things bothered him in the middle of the night, like extreme sounds from air conditioners in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Yes, specific pitches of sounds that weren't seen, sources of which weren't seen to you, but heard by him even if he wasn't as close to the windows.
Yeah, so he had bouts of hypersensitive hearing. As he got older, it would go to, you know, he would listen to the wires. He would go near the electrical outlets and just put his ear up to the wires and start making this ticky ticky noise. And I have to say to myself, what is he doing? And then the Lord was ministering to me about what was going on in Joshua. Like, nobody needed to tell me but the Lord. And he was showing me how Joshua can hear electricity falling through the wires. And I could never take him to the beach. I tried to take him to the beach. I can only take him to ponds, but I couldn't take him to the ocean because the roaring of the waves would be enough to just throw him into a, you know, a crying fit, and he would run away from the, you know, the, well, he wasn't even walking at the time, but he would just, you know, be screaming to the point where we had to leave. And, you know, everybody was wondering what was going on with the baby that I was, you know, was holding. And they wanted to help so much. And, you know, I just had to tell people, look, he has autism and something's going on with him. And, you know, it's just something that I just needed prayer on constantly. And with autism, it's just so, it's different from one person to the next. Primarily, boys have more of the obvious symptoms. Girls have either Rett syndrome, that looks like they have autistic features, or a lot of times autism in boys seem to dovetail with other disorders like ADD and Tourette's. My son has a combination of both. So, Jeff, is there anything you want to ask me? I mean, we were supposed to start this by you asking me questions. I don't want to leave you out, you know.
So, what was family day like day-to-day life before Joshua went into his residence program?
Well, it was more like as these symptoms presented itself, as we got the diagnosis, even though we don't want to, as Christians, hold people to diagnosis, because we believe in healing. We believe that God can come and heal at any time that he wants. But we also know that there's also lessons of life that the Lord wants us to learn. That's why he allows these things in our lives. And so, just living in the autistic world just really turned our family upside down. With me, my faith had to increase so I can always depend on the Lord for guidance, you know, because Joshua couldn't talk to me and tell me what was going on within him. He could only point. He could cry. He could, you know, make several gestures. and he could maybe sign the way that he thought we would understand. Jeff?
Tell us about what happened in Medley before that game.
Like I mentioned, we did a video. We had several videos. I think six videos that we did. They're on Facebook. So anybody, just, you know, join the Joshua Connection group on Facebook, and you'll actually get more of a detailed version of what we're talking about here on Blog Talk Radio. But for those who have not come on to Facebook and to the Joshua Connection group and have yet to do this, what Jeff is talking about is a story that I had shared recently where we had gone to this Christian campground when many signs and wonders are happening. And during that time, the Lord will have me, you know, occasionally take the family there, or maybe me, so I can give my consolation, come back and, you know, be the mother that he's called me to be. But this one particular occasion, okay, but I think it was the time we had the hottest summer that we ever had. We're down to one bar, Jeff, on this. No, we're down to two bars. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the battery on this phone. So let me focus, okay?
As you were saying.
As we were saying, yes. the English in you. Thank you very much. And anyways, as I was saying, I decided to take my children to a field trip at this particular campground, and it was hiking. Now, I really wasn't a hiker. I have allergies. I'm allergic to trees in the summertime. But, you know, when you have the Lord leading you, you put those things aside, and you just hope that he meets you where you are. So I brought them to the camp, you know, and we were just hiking and praying. We were on a prayer hike. And then we got to the point, we're more like in the middle of the forest, and we started hearing thunder. But it was, the ironic thing about it was still sunny, and not a cloud in the sky. It was amazing. And we started hearing this thunder. I got a sense there was something going on in heaven. It was spiritual warfare. But, you know, how do you tell your kids this? You know, they're just thinking they're hiking. So I heard this thunder, and they heard it too. And they got a little nervous, and I did too. And then we're like, where are we going? We were walking in circles. We didn't know how to get out of the forest. There was nobody else around us. They were there, but then they weren't. And we're thinking, wow, we are lost. And we don't know what to do. We didn't want to get caught in a thunderstorm. And so my son Joshua just kept pointing. And the only thing he could say was, go. You know, and he pointed. We know when he points, he either wants something or he knows something we don't know. So we believe, you know, that the leader of the Lord, that Joshua just somehow knew. Well, we find out that one of Joshua's gifts, and many autistic kids have gifts yet, you know, waiting to be discovered. He has a photographic memory. He uses the PAC system when he's not using his computerized voice box called the DynaVox. And when he can look the other way, okay, and when he wants something, he'll point, he'll know exactly where they are on the pegboard. So he also knows where, you know, when people get lost, how to get him out of the jam, you know. So he's got a built-in GPS system in him. That's what we call it. So anyway, another time I get one of the people, now he lives in residence. He went into residence in 7 years out. And they went hiking, very woodsy where they are. And same thing, they got lost. And when they were telling me the story, I said, yeah, so Joshua pointed you out of the forest. They said, yes, how did you know? I said, he did the same thing with us. And they just thought it was just like so amazing. I used to sing this song to Joshua when he was little, like every time one of my kids were born, there would be a song that I would sing, you know, to them. It was just like a maternal song, but I really believe songs came from heaven. And I would sing their song that characterized their personality. And next thing you know, as they're growing up, it's like they're the song that was being sung there, it was like prophetically I was singing what kind of person they're going to be. And I used to always sing this, like, I used to watch Sesame Street a lot with my children. And one of the characters in Sesame Street when Joshua was born, he was called the Teeny Weeny Super Guy. And it was so cute. The Teeny Weeny Super Guy had a teeny weeny voice, but he did big things. So I used to always call Joshua my Teeny Weeny Super Guy. And I'm telling you, you know, he took a while to grow to. He was small for the longest time. And all of a sudden he shot up there, and he just, you know, he's my height now. But he's you know, he fit that song quite well. The teeny weeny super guy doing big things, you know, when you least expect him to. So it's just really amazing how he lives up to that, you know. But there's just so many different things that autistic kids experience. They have like antennas. Spiritual heightened sense of, you know, the environment on a higher level, and many things that they may be reacting to, they may be reacting to the unseen world. And there was one time when before Joshua went into residential chef, when I lived in Brockton, he was always crying and lamenting all the time, you know, like limitations. And the Lord had informed me to take them to a Life in the Spirit seminar. Like, they had a Life in the Spirit seminar, you know, for the in the Holy Ghost, to receive the Holy Spirit for families. They just happened to have this in Midway. So it was in October 1 year, and the Lord told me, this is the time where I have all of them together, because it's going to get crazy when we get, as they grow older, that, you know, to bring them to Life and Spirit seminars. They're going to need it in the days ahead. And as soon as the priest prayed over Joshua, he lifts up his, he was like a baby, and he was sleeping. All of a sudden, he lifts up his hands, like his praise and worship of the Lord. He opened his eyes and lifted up his hands, and he opened his mouth. And then there was so much light over him. And then, shortly thereafter, the Lord showed me, like, you know, sit them all in a row, and he wants to release the gift of tongues. And he said this is how they would receive the gift of tongues. When I put my hand on one for it to be like a domino effect, each person's going to speak in tongues. So I started first, of course. And then, next thing you know, everybody didn't understand what was going on. I didn't tell them. I just said, you know, follow me. We're playing follow the leader. and then I started speaking in tongues. Next thing you know, tongues went through everybody, like a domino effect. So I really believe that because of that seed that was planted early in Joshua's life, because the Lord knew the struggles that Joshua was going to have to go through, but he also knew that there was a part in his spirit that was docile to the Holy Spirit. You know, even though they had these extreme behaviors at times, their spirit's more docile than us. And this is the reason why we established the Joshua Connection Prayer Group. First and foremost, we want to teach how families can have a circle of support that would include the medical, spiritual, the recreation, that would, you know, include people that can help them. It can be part of the family network that can help them, you know, when other family members have to go to work, PCA workers. Jeff, what else did we say? You know, or anything that, you know, they might like, you know, to do, like drawing or just different, you know, or even prayer. But our big part is that we wanted to create a bigger picture about who Joshua, who the person Joshua is, and who autistic children are in general. They're not just autistic people. They're people, okay? They're people made in God's image. They have gifts. They have a different way of looking at life and communication. And we just have to understand, we have to enter into their world to understand, you know, how they look at life. And it's not that so much that they have to adapt to us. We need to adapt to them. And oftentimes we need that through prayer.
I was thinking about the experience they had on my bus.
Yes.
With Joseph. Joseph.
Yes.
And he is autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other boys, I think, was a soul behavior issue.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is he called Joseph dumb.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not true. Joseph isn't dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk and tell people what you need. Joseph doesn't know how to talk.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't able to get talking into his mind yet. But that he's very smart because he can still get his message across.
But he talks.
Like
Joshua. Yeah.
He can't use his voice because he's not functioning properly, but and not stupid people.
Right.
And then we have a friend who's on the high end, Asperger's end of the spectrum, and he had developed his ability with computers, and for some reason...
He would build out a computer.
For some reason or another, he had to find his own diagnosis, and that he did, and he got the assistance with the social issues that were there. We've seen both. We've had one in our family, and we kind of interrelate with other people's kids by being in school transportation industry.
Well, I did it with a friend that builds a computer. But it's so funny. He was doing outreach with me, and his parents were doing outreach with me when we were doing Sir New England. And he was always interested in what I was doing when he was 14. And somehow, you know, he would come every once in a while, and then he would stop, and then he would come again. It was seasonal. Then he finally graduated. Then I realized, oh, my gosh, he's the same age as, you know, my daughter, Jacqueline. And so, and then, you know, after he graduated, he started hanging out with us more. And it was almost like we adopted him. But the Lord wanted, while Joshua was in residential, the Lord wanted us to get to know our friend here, because little did we know, he was displaying the same symptoms of autism, but yet was very highly intelligent with computers, but at the same time had a different way of looking at life, you know, and had fears that were too exaggerated, and it didn't have a good understanding of who he was as a person, but also had sensory issues. And then the meltdown too, the melting down. So I made a suggestion. I said, don't you think that you might want to think about the possibility that you might be highly autistic or have Asperger's syndrome? And I said, there are bad things. It's just, you know, if you get the help that you need, then you would be able to approach life differently. Understand who you are as a person, and we were a good mentor to him. You know what? He was a good mentor to us because he taught us all that we needed to know about computers and things like that. So you know, it was a good trade-off, I think. So the point we're saying is that there's a multi-dimensional approach, you know, to autistic children. Now, when they're younger, years ago, autism, people didn't understand it all. You know, they saw manifestations as people got older, and it would get out of hand most of the time because the adults did not receive services, the right services that they would need when they were younger because nothing existed. They were institutionalized at a very early age, and people just forgot about them. But the thing is, when you can pinpoint, you know, with the help of professionals, early on, the age of onset of autism or PDD, or that's pervasive developmental scale, it's a kind of autism, but it's not really full-blown. If you get that early enough, there's programs, you know, in each state, that early childhood programs where you can actually begin the early childhood addressing of the autistic symptoms as they come up. And there's a whole list of things through occupational therapy, through PCA workers coming in to help the family. And then, of course, there's the individualized ed plan, and it's that earlier before they go into first grade so that the transition can be smooth. And there's just so many wonderful things that you can, you know, make use of now. My whole heart to parents is don't let pride get in the way of the help, getting help for your child.
Exactly.
You know?
Because they do have a chance for the highest possible degree of a good life. They have to act quickly.
Yeah, the earlier the better.
And there was something about restroom training. It was either do it or you would have problems the rest of his days.
Right. When the diagnosis of autism was happening, and I knew that I was going to have a harder time with Josh in many areas, and that was including potty training. I was thinking, I'm like, I actually met someone who was raising their child, who was at that time 30. That was 17 years ago, and you know he was still in diapers, and I knew when I met this person that he felt so shameful that he's a man in diapers. Okay. And so I did not want that for my son, Joshua. I wanted him to gain as much independence as he possibly could. So my whole thing was, you know, bring the best out. Let's
did you read it?
Yes, a friend of mine who had an autistic son and a daughter with central auditory processing disorder, her son was a little more high functioning, but, you know, she had the issue of potty training. She said that somebody gave her a book. It was from Community Autism Resources. It was a book from that. She said that if you can train autistic children, especially boys, before age 7, the chances are they will remain potty trained throughout their whole life. They may have some accidents, but they'll, you know, remain potty trained. So so the Lord had done me a huge favor one time. During the 1994, and in 1994, the winter of 1994, it was like something like this winter. It was very, very snowy, and it just seemed like every 3 days, same time, we'd have a snowstorm. Remember that? It was like 1994, and I just got my bus job, and we don't get paid when we don't work. So every time we had a snowstorm, I was just watching my paycheck shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink. It shrunk to the point that I couldn't even afford Pampers for, you know, for my son. I was like, oh, it's too bad he's not a toilet drain. I'm like, what? How am I going to do? You know, how am I going to take care of Joshua without, you know, the mother's worst nightmare is not to have Pampers for your children that are not toilet trained. So the Lord told me to read the book. So when everybody was sleeping, we made substitute diapers. And that was, you know, that could only go so far. And so I read the book on how to train autistic boys, okay? And, you know, you have to train them with running water in the bathroom because they like running. Something about the water running will help them. You turn it on and it helps them flow. So, anyways, so I did that, and of course, the Lord was also showing me, he's not deaf, he can listen, he understands you, he just can't talk to you the way you want him to. And so I said, okay. So with that information from the Lord about Joshua, whom he created, and, you know, from what I read about the book, in the book, I should say, I was able to toilet train Joshua in about a week. Yep, I didn't need those diapers. So, everybody was happy, including the nursery school people. And it was a major breakthrough. It was a major breakthrough. But, of course, you know, I got those training Pampers as soon as the money came in. But, you know, it's like every once in a while, you know, he'll have the accident, but it's not as bad as it could be, and things like that. So the fact of the matter is, one of the prerequisites to going into this program, Jeff, was he had to be 12 trained. So it was like God was already showing me the best program, you know, would be the one that, you know, wants him toilet trained first. They wouldn't have to, you know, fuss with that. So that was a good thing. So all these things, they add up. A lot of it came through prayer. I want to get back to the lament and spirit. So there was a time that he just kept crying, went into a season of crying. And my heart was so wrenched because all my other kids, you know, all I remember them was laughing at the age 2 or 3, you know, different things, having a good time. My kids, right, enjoying life. And here my son's crying because he's in constant pain and can't point to where it is and things like that. He can't tell me that, you know, his skin is tingling because of something going on inside of him, you know, and, you know, when he was having those severe acid attacks because he had a severe acid reflux. They can't tell you that the acid's burning them. They can only scream. So one time I just cried out, I'm like, Lord Jesus, Lord, I said, you who made Joshua, you know, even though one of the autistic symptoms is, you know, constant crying and bizarre behavior and different things like that, I said, at least I just ask that you just impart to him your gift of joy, you know, so he can be joyful. And then within a month's time, he just started laughing, uncontrollably, and just laughing whenever he got a chance. And even to this point, this day and age, because the Lord poured his spirit of joy on Joshua, all you can hear from the staff at the Evergreen where he goes is Joshua is so funny, you know, and because he's a schemer. He likes to do funny things, funny gestures to make everybody laugh. And he likes to play games with people.
He has the witch.
I think it's the English witch. He's got this English witch. Joshua and Naomi, from the previous situation, their father, for the most part, is Indian, German, English, and Irish. So they got all that from him. And then I bring in more Indian, and where else did I bring to the table? Jewishness, and then there's the Cape Verdean, which just has everything already in blended. Yeah, it already has its own blender, because the Cape Verdean Islands is a mixture. There's a lot of Jewish settlements that happened on the island of Fogo. You know, they were mixed with the French and African and Portuguese. So so there is that mixture right there. And then there is the different kinds of Indian, and then the Irish from my grandmother's side of the family, my mother's side, Irish mixed with the Indian. So there's a big, big, big melting pot there. But so Joshua has the English witch, you know. Of course, it's like Great Britain from my relatives from the 1600s, the Garretts. And so, anyways, so Joshua is quite the character, and it's amazing. We had a powwow session, we call it, called the Joshua Connection years ago before he went into residential, because I knew at some point I needed to make a decision. But I wasn't as confident as, you know, I was with my other children, because there was so much that Joshua needed that I didn't want a lot of the decision-making that I had to do as a parent to, like, influence him, because I was the mother and I was going to have the final say. I wanted it to be a decision that was God-centered, Christ-centered, Joshua-centered, Joshua and Jesus working together with our cooperation. And I started going to the community autism resource seminars that they were having that they paid in full, that the whole family can attend. And one of my friends, his name is Jack, I won't say the last name, Jack, and Jeff met Jack. Jeff looks a little bit like Jack. Jeff looks like Jack a little bit. And Jack with a beard. I don't know about being, I think men with beards look very distinguished, you know, as they get older, they look much better than when they did when they were younger, just because the beard and the, you know, it makes them age gracefully, and somehow it just completes the package. But anyways, well, Jesus had a beard, right? He was a Nazarite. Anyway, so back to the Joshua Connection. So what Jack had brought to the table, to the roundtable discussion, is that when you dream your dream for your child that is in need, and, you know, the whole family should get involved, not only the whole family, the community. And, you know, and he used what you call the person-centered approach. And I started drawing this diagram as he was talking, based on his diagram. And then, but in my center, because they asked us to draw, you know, what the person-centered approach would look like for ourselves and for our families and our loved ones. And I drew a big cross, and right at the big, you know, where the cross, you know, where it intersects, I put Joshua on one part of the quadrant, then Jesus, then the family, then the community. And then I drew a circle around it, and I'm like, that is the person-centered approach that the Lord wants to use for Joshua. And then I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want to call it? He said, call it the Joshua Connection, because in the Joshua Connection, whoever has been involved in some capacity with Joshua is connected to not only to Joshua, but to Jesus. And that in that connection, he will be all, you know, he will bring to the community, to the person in need, to whatever is around that person, he will bring what the, you know, the group needs. He will be the provider for the group, whatever that means, whether it be psychologically, intellectually, emotionally, physically, or spiritually, spiritually first. So, and then he said to me, it's a paradigm for the church. The paradigm, write it down. And I thought, wow, you know. And so in this paradigm, you start to have discussions, you know, in a faith-based environment, bringing everyone who's ever been involved with your loved one, from individualized aid plan meeting to, you know, somebody that's part of the extended family network that you've been relying upon, like a PCA worker, or anybody in the community that could, you know, bring even better things to the circle or support that we are not even aware of that could help Joshua, or to help people like Joshua, people who are in need. And, of course, we wanted to present a healthier picture for those who are struggling by not really focusing on the disability, but focusing on what they can do, what they can do. And it was so funny. When we had a series of these, and then we had a harvest dinner potluck dinner going on that, you know, we set a day aside where it was like a celebration in honor of Joshua and what he achieved in his 6 years while he was there, you know, because I knew at some point, you know, if it came out in the Joshua Connection that he may need, because the family unit and what was going on, I was a single parent at the time, that he not only may need it, but the family may need that, you know, a respite where he would have to go into a residential to learn other things that we could not provide. And we had to be faced with that. But there was a lot of prayer that went with that, and it was okay, you know, but this is where it was all going towards, because we were looking at the things that worked and the things that didn't work, what the state could offer. And we were kind of moving away from what the state could offer, because the state really couldn't offer too much. They didn't have that much money at the time. They were cutting back in these areas for people that were under 22. But when you're turning 22, there's a lot more resources out there. But, you know, at the time, there was a lot of budget cuts. So, you know, we had to really do our homework and work with what we had and still dream for Joshua as he walks through the process of being formed, you know, the way that the Lord wants him to be formed. So that's that in a nutshell. You know, the other part is there's always a time for parents where we second guess ourselves, which many of you have. Did I do this right? You know, am I overreact? Did I overreact at this particular behavior? The best thing to do is write a journal. Keep a journal of your son or daughter. You'd be surprised, and bring it before the Lord too as a petition. That's what has helped us. So, you know, there's always going to be that self-evaluation, and it might be self-criticism, but you know what? Just don't be held captive by your situation. What you need to do is you need to focus on the thing that God wants you to do, the thing that God wants you to understand about your son, about your daughter, and don't even be afraid to have dialogue with them, because they can understand you, they can hear you. I remember when we found out that, you know, Josh, this is the best thing to do is to put him in residential and to be open. We selected a residential placement, which, you know, had the medical team with him at all times because of issues that he had had that were medically oriented. And, you know, because at some point the issue of medication was going to have to be there. And I did not trust myself giving him medication on time and also understanding his complete issue because I was not a nurse and I was not a doctor, you know, a medical doctor. And so I knew that there was going to be some issues based on what I was reading that he was going to have to undergo, that he was going to need addressed. So the other thing was he needed that education piece where he'd have to have, you know, the same counselors and teachers also at residential as opposed to just in the classroom. And we tried to do that piece at home, but we weren't, they didn't have the funds for that completely. So you know, there was a certain program within this program that had that, and of course there were other issues going on with the family, with my other two girls who had special needs too, which were coming up from right behind Joshua, and finally it came to full circle right after Joshua went to residential. It was like really a timely thing. Now these other issues I had to deal with, so. God knew what was happening, and He had guided us every step of the way. And there's a program that Joshua's in. I can call 24/7, find out how Joshua's doing, even speak to Joshua, even if he can't speak with me. But there are programs in the Dynavox to be able to have a conversation in a male voice that Joshua would point to, you know. And when Joshua fully understands how to use that in a phone conversation, I'll be able to have a conversation with him on the phone. That's been my dream. I want to back up to when Joshua was young. He had spoken when he was 18 months. He said, Mama, and he was trying to say sentences. And then something happened where it just totally left him. And what happened was, it was about 7 minutes, Jeff, and everybody that's listening, my friend Karen Meisner is going to call in. And then we'll transition into that interview. We're just going to talk about why we're here doing fundraising. So, and she's going to talk to everyone about how we got a chance to meet each other, and you know, she's just going to hopefully give us a good endorsement. So, anyways, when Joshua was young, he didn't. You know, he was only 18 months when he started speaking, like a typical boy. But then he clammed up. He was pulling on his ear too. There was things that were going on, like I said, that definitely we knew something was that he was having an internal struggle. And I believe it was spiritually, and I believe it was, you know, the biochemically something was going on too with his nervous system. And so, you know, I knew that he could speak at that point, and my whole quest was, and it was not focused in the right direction, it was, you know, as I'm thinking about it, but that's okay, because God still was in control. I was looking more at his disorders, that we got to get Joshua to speak. He's got to speak. It was more than Joshua has to speak. It was like, we had to make sure that his digestive system was working, that he, you know, if there's any food allergies, we got to find out what they were, what they are, if there's medication they need for now so that the behaviors can remain intact so he doesn't, you know, kill people when he's biting, you know, because he was a biter and a fighter. We had to find out what made Joshua tick, you know, and things like that. So, you know, and how to keep him safe and everybody else safe, too. So that was what I should have been originally, you know, focusing on, because, you know, if I waited for the speech, I would have been, I started getting frustrated, like everybody would. I'm like, I don't want to hear the screaming, I want to hear speaking. But then the Lord softened my heart, and he just wanted me to just, you know, take a couple steps back, take some deep breaths, and focus on what I needed to, what he was showing me each time an issue came up. So that's how I had to hold, you know, take the Lord by the hand. But Joshua, one time we lived across the street from the church before we actually moved to the church property, and this is before Jeff and I got married. I was going to a healing service, and I wanted to take Joshua with me. He wanted to go. He told me he wanted to go. I asked Joshua, I said, Joshua, you want to go with me to church? And he climbed my bookcase. He was a climber. He was like Spider-Man. I don't know where he got those suction cups for those hands. But he climbed my whole bookcase to the top. Didn't even look down. He didn't have a...
What was he getting?
He was getting a holy oil. They told me, he was communicating to me and saying, yes, he wants to go to church with me. So he was very cooperative. He let us, you know, help him get dressed. And we went there. We just sat and just listened. And he was, you know, doing his autistic features. But, you know, everybody thought he was charming. They thought he was cute sitting in the front row. He was good. He kept looking at the stained glass windows and all the shiny things, and, you know, with the Catholic Church. He just loved church. He loved the organ. He loved everything about church. And so I knew that, you know, God had a special place in his heart and for Josh. And then one time, another time, I was, I was just crying out to the Lord. And this is when Joshua didn't want to sleep in his bed because the bed was an intrusion to him. He'd rather be like a monk and sit up with a sheet around over him, you know, and sit and sleep sitting up like somebody in India. And I thought, that is just so odd. I'm like, you know, every time I tried to put him in a bed, he'd get up and go right to the same spot between rooms, between the threshold, right on the threshold. Something very secure. He thought that this is what he wanted. Oh, Jesus, I'm just thinking, going right back to that time period. Lord Jesus, oh gosh. There's some parents there that relate to you. There's some sorrow going on right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, be with these parents in the middle of the dark night with their children. Lord, protect them from overreacting and the undue anxiety. Fill them with peace so that they don't overreact, they don't get angry. Lord, and put people around their children that will support them, protect them. Let them not overreact. If they have issues, Lord, let them get help. But let them not take it out on their children. Thank you, Jesus. And the ones that have also, Lord, we ask that, Lord, that they would just forgive themselves and begin anew and get the help that they need, Lord. These kids are very, very challenging, and they have different temperaments, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray that you, Lord, that you would just put loving people around them. Lord, I ask for the angels, that you would release those angels, the angels of peace, angels of healing, angels of love and joy, to be around these families, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that, Lord, that the husbands would understand that they wouldn't leave the family because they're overwhelmed, that they would take their rightful place as spiritual heads of the house and plead the blood of Jesus over these families right now, over their mind, body, soul, spirit, will, and emotion. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, reveal your hand to them. Show them your glory, Lord Jesus. We ask for a heart of worship, Lord, that you would ordain praise in these children. Thank you, Lord, whether it be dancing, whether it be singing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So that one evening, I was sleeping and Joshua was still awake, and he has a sheet over him, and I'm crying out of frustration, crying out to God, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, I said, I don't understand why you're allowing Joshua to go through this. I said, it pains me as a mother to see him go through this. And then I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's going on? And then I just said to Joshua, I just wanted to just talk to him, because I was focused too much on the talking and not know the lack of communication. And he said, and all of a sudden, out of clear blue, Joshua points to his eyes, and he says, eyes. He points to his nose, he says, nose. He points to his ears, he says, ears. And he points to his mouth, mouth. And then he said, I can talk. Just like that. And then I didn't hear anything else after that. But it was very hard. And then one other time we were, the family was together, and it was during the daytime hours. And, you know, all of a sudden I noticed Joshua went, you know, off in the corner because everybody was talking like he's deaf, like he's a third-party person. I said, you can't talk about Joshua like this, because I said, he gets very sad because he can talk, he can understand you, you know, and you just have to include him more in your conversation. And then he hit the, you know, he was pounding his fist in frustration on the floor, and he said, again, like he had like palsy of the throat, like he goes, I can talk, you know, and it was like, wow. But he had to put his whole entire being into it. So I believe that that's just like the acids, you know, and he did have that digestive situation corrected. So anybody out there who has a son or daughter that is nonverbal, you might want their digestive systems checked out to see if they have extreme acid reflux, because that acid could burn out their vocal cords. I remember one night a couple of years ago when I had a bad habit of eating at 9 o'clock at night because my husband got out of work. Wait a minute, Jeff, you got out of work at 11 one time, a couple of times. You used to work up until 11 p.m., right? And we used to have our small little snacks. And then all of a sudden I go to sleep, and I wake up with this extreme gas coming up, you know, not gas, I'm sorry, acids coming up my throat, and it was burning. My eyes felt like it was going to pop out of my face. And I'm like, what was that? And Jeff said, oh, that was the acid reflux. I'm like, if Josh has this, and it's like 1,000 times more, I'm just exaggerating with 1,000 times more, but that could burn, but it really did its job in my throat at the time.
And especially, that was one of the things he did. He examined the strength of the regurgitated aspect and the device down into his velocity.
And he said there was a lot of scarring in his vocal cords and everything. So I'm thinking his vocal cords were burned up from that acid, at a young age. And had I known that at the time and had treated for that earlier on, he probably would be speaking at this point. But it doesn't mean that he won't speak. It's just that his vocal cords have to heal, and his body has to become more alkaline instead of acid, you know. So that's what we're going to work on. Okay. We are, it's about 7:05, and for some reason, my friend has to call, but she's not calling, but hopefully she will call, and if she doesn't, that's okay, because, this whole thing with autism is a mystery, because what's really strange is that so many people, it's like one out of 150 people are autistic. And, you know, people joke around in our bus company. I drive for a special needs bus company. And, you know, of course, they say, well, you know, if you think of it, we all have a little bit of autism. And that's true. You know, I just don't want to have anything to do with anybody. I want to shut the world off and, you know, put my hands up on both sides of my face like my son does and tell people, just go away, just go away, just go away. Let me be with the Lord. I just cannot deal with human beings anymore. And of course, I'm a human being, right? But I was like...
But you needed a
timeout. Yeah, I just need my own timeout. It's like, especially when people get on your nerves, one in every nerve, and you're like, why are they doing this? You know, and you just get so into that, you know, you get locked into that and things like that. But, you know, before she calls in, hopefully she will. It's about 7:07. Anyways, one of the things that I wanted to talk about regarding Joshua, we created a postal stamp for Joshua, the Joshua Connection, because the Lord told me to. He told me to take that picture with the hand of God coming out, because this has been, Jeff, on one of our expeditions, I call them Joshua expeditions, when we visited Joshua, the Lord started telling us, you know, start taking pictures, you know, take pictures and videos, because that's what he was asking us to do, and we complied. And during a time where Hurricane Katrina was coming to New Orleans, Louisiana, and Texas, and Mississippi, that whole area, I was awakened by God, the Lord, right around 3 o'clock, and the church called that Divine Mercy Hour, and I didn't know it was 3, I just happened to look at the clock, it's 3, and I had just listened to the internet radio weather, and I'm noticing that, you know, that the hurricane was turning to Category 5, and it's going to be a direct hit. And I had just had a dream where there were people, and the what I got was, it was actually an angel that was, like, outside of the storm. He was showing me, like, a TV version of a vision, looking right into the storm and how it's affecting people. And I even got some water on me, too, when I was looking into this vision within the dream. And there's an angel, like, standing back of me saying, you know, and I'm watching this what looked like television. People sleeping in beds, and the water is, like, descending into their house. Ascending into the house, and they're not even aware of it. They decided not to heed the warning. That's what the angel said. These are the people that are not heeding the warning. They are going to be overtaken, you know, and by this flood, by this storm, and you know, and I just felt so bad for them. They were people that were prideful and cocky, and they didn't want to listen, and they just stayed behind, and they really, really took the brunt of it. And you know, but he said, pray. You know, the angel was like, pray, pray, pray. And then that's when I woke up, and then, you know, then I put the weather on. And then he said something about this, you know, this is what it was. And I got confused a little bit, but he said, the angel at the time said something about the southeast, the south shore was going to be the hardest hit, the south shore region. And, you know, in Massachusetts, we have the north shore and south shore. So I didn't know it was the eastern seaboard when I had this dream. So, and I'm thinking, I'm not thinking South Shore in New Orleans. But then weeks later, that's exactly what got hit, was the South Shore region. Was the worst, got the worst of it. And so that was definitely an accurate description on the angel's part. But of course, when it reached my ears and my mind, when I was awake, I got that a little wrong there. But nevertheless, I was praying, and then I was my focus was directed towards autistic children and their families naturally, and anybody else that has special needs children that didn't heed the warning and was still in that area. Well, what about them? How, you know, can't you stop the storm just for their sake? You know, where's your hand and all that? Where's your hand on Joshua? You said you were going to heal Joshua, because he has said that. You said you are with Joshua, and, you know, I have, you know, I got nothing. I have nothing for you to show me regarding this. So then he, after that, as I'm sobbing, he's showing me, why don't you go to your website and start looking for pictures for the website, because I'm a web developer too. We developed our sites for our ministry to save money. And so what happened was I did what the Lord told me, and miraculously, the sorrow turned into peace. My tears are drying up. I'm not as hysterical as I was, you know, minutes before that revelation. And then I go to look on the picture file for pictures for the website, and I had to come across, I came across pictures of Joshua. I'm like, where did these pictures come from? And then, lo and behold, there was this picture that I just got, it just took my breath away. It was his hand over Joshua, this big hand in a part of his sleeve, long fingers, the same fingers that I felt many times when I was worshiping the Lord with the drums. I actually saw the hand of the Lord. I saw the thing. And I also felt the hands of the Lord, very long, membranous hands on my face and my hands when I was in the spirit. Yeah. And, you know, he was touching my hands very gently. That was another vision. And I thought those are the same long fingers that was in the other situation that the Lord had allow me to experience in that encounter. So what happened was I was like, oh my gosh, it was, of course, it was like late, everybody's sleeping. I'm like, I need to see this. I'm like, Jeff, get over here now. I just, you know, Jeff, tell them what you experienced when I had coming over there.
When I came over, I saw the picture, and it was very easy to see, and I saw her hand, and mm-hmm. It was not there when I took the picture.
Yeah.
It was invisible to my eyes mm-hmm. at the time I took the picture. And that picture was in a very enclosed area where no one could mm-hmm. get behind anywhere near Joshua.
Yeah, there was no windows.
No windows, no room for them to stand behind the couch. Mm-hmm. And so when I looked at it, it was like, yeah, that is God.
Because,
you know, he planted it there.
Yeah.
For a particular hour, different and particular day to respond to a particular need.
And he allowed us at various times to experience his hands in our daily walk with the Lord on different levels. And so I already had prior knowledge of the hands of the Lord. He has a big hand. Strong hand, big hand, powerful hand, loving hand. Very powerful.
He says his hand is not so short that it cannot save.
He's got that right. And his hands are not too weak that it cannot heal. It's very powerful, majestic hand. And it's the right hand of the Lord. So the hand came out. And in the hand, in the picture, I looked at it very closely. He's taken off this, like, dark thing around Joshua's neck. And there's, like, a flipping on a ring of light. And it's there, you know, all the time.
It wasn't just a thing that you thought you saw. Mm-hmm. It was something that you did see. Mm-hmm. I didn't have my glasses on at the time, and I was mm-hmm. like a good distance from the screen, and I could still see the image of the hand mm-hmm. without any problems.
It's just so awesome. And so that gave me hope, you know, that he has his hands on all children that have been afflicted by some kind of disability, you know, and that he was going to use it for his purposes, for the purposes of the kingdom. And I just, And then I had hope for Joshua's life and for his destiny. And then I started thinking about, like, now, how the Lord really wants me to start praying for special needs children, you know, and their families, and what he's going to do in this hour, how he's going to manifest himself. It's just going to be amazing because he's going to use these children, especially in the arena of autistic children, you know, autism. He's going to use them like Ezekiel prophets is what he told me. So, you know, the best thing for us to do is to pray for this generation coming up, you know, because they don't have any fear. One thing about autistic children or, you know, children with PDD, they have no fear.
No fear boundaries at all.
No fear boundaries at all. And that's why, my son used to, you know, every once in a while he'll bolt. He'll bolt into traffic. But when they're younger, they don't have that boundary. They'll bolt into traffic. They'll bolt into water. They'll just do some serious bolting, and they don't know what they're going to get themselves into, you know. And then they'll laugh about it afterwards. So it's like...
On one occasion, yeah, when we were visiting Josh on family day at the school, remember what he did? He was eyeing one of
the balloons
on the string fence.
He was eyeing the sky, too, and the balloons.
And he made a dash to that, and all he did was untie it, and he dashed back to his seat.
Right, he wanted to set the balloons free, because he saw the balloons that were over, they were tied up on a fence. And I think he might have been, he was probably...
Not knowing what... Everybody had a presupposed idea that he was going to end up in the street.
Well, I was...
Not at the main street.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I was thinking at the time, because I saw him, I was trying to follow his eyes, you know, his gaze. He was gazing at those balloons. I said, he's either going to want to pop those balloons or release them. And then when he released them, I'm like, Lord, why did he do that? And the Lord said, well, he feels like those balloons. He's tied up. Down, you know, and he wants to be set free. Yeah, so he had this notion to go over and set the balloons free. I thought, you know, that is so, like, cool.
And come right back.
He came right back to the spot. Yeah. So, that's a kind of Ezekiel gesture, you know, freedom. And then there was another time. It was so funny. I don't know if you were with me, but there was a time when we visited Joshua, and I really, you know, the Lord was really dealing with me in the area of cleaning my house. He wasn't talking about physical house. He was talking about spiritual house, how there were some things that I needed to bring, to the Lord through confession. The spiritual bison that was a distraction to my life, and it was a certain thing that he wanted at that time in my life that he wanted to, you know, me to trust him with. And I went to go visit Joshua, and he was acting up a little bit, but rightfully so. And he takes us to his bedroom, you know. And he goes under his bed, and he takes the clump of dust, and he puts it in my hand. And he closes my hand, and he goes, go. And I'm like, I said, so what are you telling me, Joshua? Dust? He smiled at me. Now, were you there when that happened, when you put the dust in my hand, Joshua?
No.
It was like the thing that I got when he put the dust in my hand is, you know, dust you came into being and dust you shall return. So the Lord was showing me through Joshua that there was something that, you know, I needed to take care of. And there was another thing way back before residential setting where, you know, I was stuck on Joshua's not talking. He's not talking to me. He should be reading like everybody else's age, but he's not, right? And one of my friends died. That friend, that's a Franciscan. Remember, I told you we had like a revival in the yard and stuff. And And that was right after I almost got killed when I was waiting for the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord told me to move as I was praying. And I moved real fast. The bus driver thought it was a dead woman. But he said, then I saw something move you. Well, that was a witness that I brought to John, because I was on my way to church at the time, Mass, you know, and I was waiting for the bus, and I was lamenting about the family. I'm like, oh, Lord, my family has so much needs. I need to, help them, and something's going on, Joshua, and I don't know if I'm the right mother for this. Why am I not this, or why am I not that? And then when I had that near brush with death, you know, because there was a car that was aiming right for me when I was waiting for the bus, and I was turned the other way praying, and they lost their brakes. And within seconds, the Lord said, move or else you're going to be a dead woman. And then immediately the scripture came to me about kings, about the spies, you know, going into the land. They didn't know if they were going to be overtaken by the enemy, but they said that if they don't, they're going to be overtaken. And if they, let's take a chance. And if we go over there, and we're dead, but at least we're taking a chance and we listen to the Lord. And, you know, we're dead people either way, you know, but maybe not. Maybe the chances that we're still going to be alive if we listen to what the Lord says. So that's why I said, I'm listening to what the Lord says. I'm moving. As soon as I did it, the telephone pole that I was leaning on, this car comes in. Prompted by another skid of a car in back of that car, was headed right for the telephone pole. It cut it in half, and I would have been sawed in half. And then my refuge was this, the lawn of this lady. This was right around Christmas time. And next thing you know, the car that caused that accident to happen was standing for me in the bushes. And all of heaven, I could feel all of heaven around me. And I'm like, Jesus, you spared me once. I'm sorry for everything. I wanted to receive you in communion. Please spare me and spare those people. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And then that car stopped. It was, you know, and then ironically, it was a black car, too. So then the bus driver stops. He says, are you okay, lady? You want me to call? You want me to call the ambulance? Like that. I think that these people need an ambulance. I'm all right. I said, I just need to go to church. Thank you very much. And then I got on and gave us a whole witness about I was praying, you know. To be honest, they're only going to be bold. All right. I wasn't only just praying. I was meditating on the four Gospels in the New Testament of Jesus' life. On what you call the rosary, okay? And for those people who think that that's sacrilege, it's not. It's, you know, it's the monks in the 1100s, they used the rosary beads at that point before it became associated with the Blessed Mother. And, it was called the Psalter.
Psalter.
Of what?
Jesus and Mary.
Yeah, so the Psalter of Jesus and Mary. They used it specifically for the 150 Psalms. So it was like 150 beads on the rosary. So, you know, that's very scriptural, and that's what I was praying. I was praying on the rosary. I was meditating. I was in deep thought, and I was asking the Lord to open up my spiritual ears, and I definitely did it. So he saved my life that day because I asked him to. And it was, you know, but when I received communion, I felt and so my friend John, who passed away, he was a fellow worshiper, he said, I think we should, you know, you really need to talk to me. And I didn't even know that the Lord gave him a death sentence of 6 months. He had 6 months to live. Didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
This person that was a Franciscan, he had cancer. Yeah. And, he was a worshiper, and I said, John, let's have a revival. I said, the Lord showed me we need to have something in June. So we did. You know, it was one of the best things he said he's ever done with his life. And then he said it really meant a lot to him, you know. So then, you know, that later on that year, he passed away, and it was a glorious funeral, actually. It really was. Jesus was very much there. You know, I know he was at peace and things like that. But the point that I was trying to make is, that's when worship became a very important tool in my life, you know, to get over and get past and get beyond. And just crying out for your children, crying out for your family. God hears the prayers, he cries of the poor. He does. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, that's what it says in Psalms, And you have to realize your own poverty so that the Lord can come on in there. That's your, the need for a Savior. So, we got to look at life a little differently. So anyway, I wanted to go back to Joshua. So that was right around the time period, right? When I was thinking, I wish he could talk to me and all this stuff. So I'm sitting there after John's death. That's what it was about, and it was right around that week, okay? And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, oh, these are the kids downstairs. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, why is my life going this way? And again, the same questions, what's going on with Josh? And why all this sadness, All this stuff, why, right? Right? All of a sudden, Joshua, who had never, it's amazing. He had that understanding of life. He opens up one of his highlight books. It was one of Jacqueline's books at the time. It was for like a somebody that was 9 years old, 10 years old. And he opens it up, and it has different poems. This one had a Robert Frost poem about different seasons. And it was talking about different seasons, like not just physical seasons, but seasons of life.
Mm-hmm.
When things change in people's lives and everything. And he pointed to that. And he gave it to me. He said, just gave it to me to read. And I'm reading it aloud. I'm like, I looked at Joshua. I'm like, Joshua, how did you know to give this to me? It was like growing up-ish. He was only like four. And so the Lord showed me that he knew how to read then, but read in his mind.
Not out loud.
And they were saying that one of the signs that autistic children know how to read, and this is, for all those parents out there who are trying to wonder, why is my son or daughter, after they read, why do they rip up the book? Why do they rip the page? Why do they tear the page and crumple it? They want that magazine, they want that book, and they're looking at it intently. And then all of a sudden they start ripping it up. Well, there's a method to that madness. There's a reason. And the reason is they have a photographic memory, and that's just their way of telling you that they're done with the book. Okay. But you have to somehow move them from destruction by maybe distracting them with a better behavior cue and teaching them not to destroy the things that they read, Same thing with electronics. Joshua knows exactly how electronics work. When people are trying to figure out how to turn on a DVD, he's already put it on before as they're figuring it out. And when he was a lot younger, I was always trying to figure out, why does he want to destroy my radio, my tapes, and everything? Because first of all, he probably knows everything about it, and that's just his way of was his way of saying, destroy it. And then he starts trying to put it back together again. Okay, so there's these things that we have to, understand about our children that God has blessed us with, and that's why we have the Joshua connection. The Lord's saying, I want you to pray, and continually keep the families and children uplifted, and share with them what I've shared with you. So that they can have hope and things like that. So then when he took that picture and he, you know, after we've actually had that picture for a while before we posted on the internet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then recently, you know, within the last year, the Lord put in a heart to release it to Facebook.
On that picture, I think we took it at Christmas time.
It was 2004 we took it. Yeah, it was the Christmas before
Katrina.
And so what happened was then this year he's, you know, bringing this picture to our spirit and saying, put it on up. And people were just calling me, you know, getting contact with me from Australia and different parts of the world and asking if they could tag the picture. I was thinking, yes, by all means, and how it's blessed them and, you know, and things like that. And so within the last month was when the Lord was putting on my heart to do the fundraising. I'm thinking, okay, what do you want me to do fundraising on? And he's telling me, do the fundraising, you know, for the Joshua Connection and do it for, you know, to increase the revenue. So we have categories in the chicken widgets that are on our blog talk radio .com/WSCIRO. But when you go there, you'll see one of them has the Joshua Connection in it with the picture, but you can't see it as closely and as intent. And I can't see it in the form of a stamp. Now, we have another venue which we raise funds for those who are creative. Why don't you write this address down? And it's zazzle.com. It's zazzle.com/WSTK_ITV. And what you're going to come to is you're going to come to a store where you can, you know, buy all these wonderful items that we were able to create. But the good thing about the store is that if you go there and you see that you might want to create from our page, you can do that. You can take something that we've done and you can put your finishing and touches on it or make it to whatever it has to be good, but make it to whatever you have, what the Lord puts in your heart. But we can't do that with stamps. The U.S. Postal stamps are another process. They are very high in, you know, in the security because you're dealing with the U.S. Postal Office. And the only reason why I know about Zazzle is because of these nonprofit organizations for social causes sending me all these things. It was through also Bono and Ally Hewson, which is, you know, Bono, of course, is from U2. They're doing a lot of work for Africa, and they use Zazzle a lot for, you know, to promote the T-shirt so they can end global poverty. But also there's other, you know, there's room for other nonprofit organizations that have a social justice cause that would like to raise funds too. You can raise funds a couple of ways. The referral process, through the actual purchasing, people purchasing your product, and royalty. You know, you get the royalty from that. So that was one out of all the things that I've been doing for outreach. That seemed to be the one without advertising. And we're doing what we're doing now is we're advertising, but that seemed to be the one that, you know, you put the time and talent into creating, but once it's on the blog, right, once it's on there, then other people, you know, when they buy it, it's like you see the results just like that. You don't have to wait for 20 people to buy it. And you know what? You do get funds right away, you know. They like to wait. They like to have you make about $25, I think. Then they send you the check at the end of the month and things like that. So it looks like Karen is not calling us. We have 24 minutes remaining. We hope that there's nothing going on with her. But you know, if nothing's going on, then what we'll be able to do is we'll be able to talk to her after this broadcast, and maybe we could try to do a broadcast tomorrow. The weekends are the best time for her. You know, she's a very busy woman to be. honest with you. And I believe she might have been having problems with all her telephone too.
Yeah, distributing the phone, well, distributing all those assignments, yeah, and then making sure they get back for their deadlines.
Exactly, exactly. So she has, you know, and this is the beauty of, you know, doing social networking and doing things on the internet, working from your home. You can do this. We have a school of ministry that we're going to start up online. It's this school portion of Seek Christian Teaching and Worship Center. It's called Seek International Leadership School of Ministry Development through the four-phase process, okay? And we created a social network on Ming specific to this. We, on Facebook, we have a, on my Facebook page, on Dr. Shirley's page, we have in the My Stuff, we have a widget that we actually have, a widget, W-I-D-G-E-T, for those who need for me to spell that out. It's a yellow and red and blue widget, and it's the it has a link, Seek School, Seek International Leadership School of Ministry. You click on that, and I believe there's a portion, if you're interested to know more about what we have to offer, you know, it's an open invitation. You can fill in the blanks, okay, and then we'll get back to you with a password, and you just fill in that password, or maybe you have your own password. There might be a part where you have your own password, different from somebody coming from outside than it is for an administrator like myself, who actually established a page. And then you go to the event section, and then there's you read throughout the whole event, and we are going to start June 17th. We're going to go until August, I think the second or third week, the third week of August, I think like the 18th or something like that. And then there's an application process you can download from our computer, and it's all outlined right there. You know, we're asking that, you know, it's just a $25 tuition within each phase, and upon the completion of phase one, you'll get a certificate of phase one, which will be a prerequisite for phase two. All right, and phase one is inner transformation. Phase two is curriculum planning. You know, planning a curriculum for your ministry, because in order for a ministry to thrive and everything, you need to be able to implement your mission and vision, and you need to be able to teach it to others, you know, and impart it in the spirit. Then, of course, is the physical, actual, it's called process planning, and procedure process planning, and that whole thing. You'll learn about how to administratively set up your ministry, which is, you know, I mean, it could be a little heady, but not when you're led by the Holy Spirit, because one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of administration. A lot of people choose to stay right there in it, but, you know, I really believe that that's only a portion of what ministry is all about. That's not the whole thing. And then the fourth thing is that we need to be accountable. So, you know, we'll be sharing with you about other ministries and showing how people can, can have another ministry mentor them so that they could walk them through the process, you know, examine their pitfalls, what worked and what didn't, and establish ministry guidelines. So, but of course, I think the most significant part of ministry development is phase one. And of course, after all the four phases are completed, and if the person has all their recommendations, we say you need to have two recommendations, written recommendations from people that you have worked with in ministry within the last 5 to 10 years. Okay, so when we receive that, then you'll be able to we'll be able to send your credentials to this ministry association that's accredited us and and released us into ministry. And you'll be able to, we have actually several ministries that we can choose from that actually can release ministry documents, and you have to be accountable to their, you know, their office by reporting what your ministry has been doing each year, and, you know, trying to keep your ministry accountable to, you know, where it needs to go. And so if anybody else is asked about your ministry, then you can say, well, you know, you can give them the address. You can give them our address, but you can also give them the address of people that have your information, because that's what that's all about. So, you know, that's that in a nutshell. And we're looking to establish, you know, our first class will be small. We start small and then grow big, you know. So other people like to start big, but we think that if 10 to 15 people is a good enough class, and then it's a big enough class for us to handle, and then we'll have a study group, Pal Talk. Now, for the Joshua Connection, okay, for those who, you know, that's the ministry outreach for the autistic children, their families, the loved ones that are raising them, we are going to have, like I said earlier at the beginning of this broadcast, we are going to have we're going to have prayer groups. We're going to have prayer time. We don't know specifically what that is, but it's going to be on Pal Talk, and I'll be able to submit the password to all those who joined the Joshua Connection group, and also I'm going to be submitting the link to the Pal Talk chat room. It'll be a combination of audio and video, so that is going to be awesome. I think we'll start off with audio, and I'll find out where people are at, you know, with the video chat, if they feel comfortable with that. If they don't feel comfortable with that, then okay, we'll be able to do the audio. I think that's going to bring things forward, and, you know, and God, it's just going to be awesome. We're going to have some, we'll try to see if we can have music from time to time, and that's going to be awesome. So, or if anybody else has music on their end of it, you can, you know, that you think, you know, we can get everybody in the flow, that'll be a good thing too. We can do that. So, you know, we have 16 minutes remaining in this broadcast. I'd like to end, you know, in a prayer of protection, you know, to set people free. We're entering into this time of the Holy Week, you know, and in Catholic churches and a lot of churches, they have Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is going to be tomorrow. Some churches, you know, that have services Saturday evening are actually going, you know, they're actually have done some services tonight, you know, at night here, and we're going to be concentrating on the Passion of Jesus, and specifically before the Passion, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. You know, he's riding on a donkey, and, you know, and where they like to reenact that whole scene in the form of a play. So that's going to be wonderful. I always love Holy Week, because to me it marked a week of transition, and transition spiritually into another place. You know, another place in the Lord, so and that's different for each person, but it's been a really wild ride for Jeff and I during this Lent, because, you know, during this whole Lent, it was right just before the beginning, Jeff, wasn't it? About a week or two, we found out, you know, that you had the leukemia, but the other thing was that the Lord just took completely over, because you know, we wanted us to, first of all. And
well, we had a few teary-eyed moments.
Yeah, we did. And
and
how's your platelets there? Because I was very concerned with the platelets. His blood, the rest of his blood work, you know. Like
The red blood cells are all
normal. Yeah, and that was like within like a three-week time period, a four-week time period when you were first taking that medication. But then I kept looking at the platelets. I'm like, why aren't they coming up? Every time I ask the Lord why, he always seems to answer. I'm like, I'm really concerned about those platelets. You know? And you know what the Lord says about concern?
What does he say, honey?
What does he say?
Don't worry.
He says, don't worry. But he also says that our concerns are his concerns too. That, you know, he's King James Version says he concerns the things that we are concerned of. He's concerned of it too.
That's
a
few
dollars though.
What?
Oh, God, we've been doing this too long. We can tell we're at the 13 minutes. And I'm wondering if she did try to call, and I didn't. I had another window up here. I'm looking at my the back office of Blog Talk Radio. But is there anything that you want to... the viewing audience to know or understand? Because what I'm thinking about doing is we came in on the phone, and I think we're going to...
leave on the phone?
I think we're going to leave on a phone because we love the Lord, and we just want everybody to come into that love walk with the Lord. I think we're going to put Kevin Pratt's song on about the first... I think the first one is Lord... the second song is I Really Love You, Lord. So, you know,
this is just what we're talking about today. It's just one of those life learning things that
mm-hmm.
you may be able to do it, manage it better with God
mm-hmm.
rather than leaving him in second place.
Yeah. You know, and the whole reason why we had the Joshua connection is that we want to know, we want people to know the destiny or to start petitioning the Lord what the destiny is of their autistic son or daughter, and what can we learn from them, you know? How can we present these children to the Lord, and how can we help them while they're here in this world, you know? And what gifts are they bringing to us? You know, what gifts are they bringing to mankind? Because they are gifted children, okay? Because God wants to reveal himself through the gifts of their lives. And furthermore, he wants to touch them with his right hand. For there is power in his right hand, and he holds everything in the palm of his hand, including their destinies. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that everyone, okay, who listens to this broadcast or who comes to the Joshua Connection group and posts the children's pictures to the group, you know, so that we can know who to pray for and what their needs are, that we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that everyone who posts the children in this group will receive a special revelation and a blessing of the Father's love for their lives, and that they will come into the fullness of their inheritance as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, that people would begin to see people differently. They begin to see these children differently. In Jesus' holy name, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, Joshua. Lord, I thank you for what you've revealed through him, through his life, Lord, as he represents, you know, autism across all kinds of lines, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Sometimes I get a loss for words here, but especially when you're doing a two-hour broadcast.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, yeah. And we want to say that we are definitely going to be doing Faith Talk Live prayer. We're going to start that up again Tuesday. We took 2 weeks off because people were just doing different things on our team that they are involved with the different church ministries as worship leaders, and usually during the time of Lent, especially towards the last part of Lent, people do get ready for Holy Week, and sometimes there's a lot more healing services than usual, and this is where they play, and this is where they bloom, so, you know, praise God, and so we'll be able to continue with Faith Talks Live Prayer on Tuesday nights. We're going to try to start as early as we can, but 7:30 Eastern Standard Time or 8 o'clock. But we'll always post something on Twitter about the timing of this, and also on Facebook and YouTube. So that's what is going to happen. Okay, So. All
right, who's online?
Oh,
Karen.
Karen's online. All right, Karen. Yeah. Karen? Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Hi, Karen. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. This is, we have 8 minutes remaining, okay? But I'm so glad you called. Oh, wow. And, so this is my friend Karen from California. Karen, can you tell the listening audience just what you do in a short, you know, we've got about 8 minutes. And
I thought you stopped at 5:30. Didn't you?
It's Eastern Standard Time. We started here. We started our show, at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that was 3 your time. And you were saying that you probably would be coming in around 4, right? Which, 4 your time?
Sorry, I
That would translate to 7 our time.
I have to speak twice as fast. Are you stopping the show at 5?
No, we're actually finishing.
I meant 8 o'clock your time.
We were finishing up at 8 o'clock our time. It's 7:52.
It was a mistake.
But listen, I'm so glad we got you on because I was telling them earlier that, you know, that when you do come on, it's just like an introduction and that we are going to be planning on doing a longer broadcast with you and Piper regarding, the FOCA bill and the pro-life work that's being done in Israel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what we had done today is we talked more about the Joshua Connection. That was one of the outreaches that we were raising funds for. We went into greater detail about our relationship with Joshua and how we've come to know the struggle of autism and how it's, you know, we can look at it in a positive light and things like that. You'll like the show, you know, you can get that broadcast right afterwards. I think it takes about 10 minutes, you know, to get, but if you have 2 hours. So I'm so glad you called in, though.
Well,
are you there?
What can I share in 7 minutes?
Well, let's see, dear. You know, how about when we first started, how we first came to know one another? You know, well, my husband can tell you, you know, you feel that point. You want to tell, you know, want to refresh her? Well, let's just say that the time that we were watching Daystar, right? And Karen, I think it was Karen Cavell.
Yeah,
Karen Cavell was, I think she was on Daystar. And they were talking about the Hollywood Prayer Network and how they established a website on there. And it kind of like gave me a nudge about, you know, the Lord was giving me a nudge about how we need to intercede for Hollywood more too. And it'd be really nice to call these people or to somehow get on their prayer line. And the prayer line was our connection to you, right? We get we go to the website and sign up for,
I think my ministry was on the Hollywood Prayer Network website. It was a web link. I was linked.
Exactly. And so we were starting to get the emails, and I wasn't reading all of them because we were getting a lot of them, but I was reading as much as I could because we had other things to do. And then one day we just sat down just to look more at the email. Then your name popped up. And both my husband and I were saying, Karen Meisner, we're thinking, is she Messianic Jewish? Oh, we must have talked to her. You know? She's starting a JC dark group. And you wanted prayer for that, right?
And I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said?
Oh, you wanted prayer? You wanted prayer for the JC dark group?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't have a ministry.
Yeah, and you were saying how you were, I remember it so clearly, there was even a start date, and you were just believing God for everything. And Jeff is telling me, this is what Jeff is telling me, Karen, you left an email link, I think, at that point, or something, or a phone number. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, the first time what?
I'm sorry?
You left a link, and so, you know, we only have 3 minutes left, but in that link. We can talk about this tomorrow. If you want to, we can, you know, inform the viewing audience. Do you want to, you want to, you know, have a lengthier conversation tomorrow? We can do that.
I think we'd have to, because I got in about 16 words. I think I better.
Okay, good. But let's just say, you know, I just wanted to leave a cliffhanger because that's how you're gonna we get an audience, right? And we're just gonna leave it at this. And so Jeff was like, "I want you to get in contact with her." I'm like, "I don't know what I'm gonna say to a Hollywood producer." You know, I mean, I do public access, but you know, that's nothing compared to what she's probably been doing. That's how that's where I was coming from. And I said, "I don't know, Jeff, we're going to have to pray about this, right?" And that's where we left it. But, you know, for those who want to know more about how we connected after that, you're going to have to stay tuned for part two.
Tell the audience that it is funny. It is very funny.
It is very, very funny. You know, it's amazing what the Lord does when you step outside of the box. In our thinking, and let's just give them a hint. When you think about, when you want to think, you know, when he's telling you to think about the big picture, and that's what we're going to leave you with. We're going to leave you with the big picture, and we're going to talk to you about what the Lord said about the big picture.
Right. Again,
you know,
I apologize to everybody. I thought your show was over at 5:30. I thought I had a half hour, and I deeply apologize that it stops at 5 California time, that is.
But you know the confusing time has something to do with you, Karen. They have us here as doing, like, right now is like 11, as time at 11 a.m. American Samoan time, 6 hours.
What is American Samoan time? What on earth is that?
That's 6 hours from now. It's morning time.
What does Samoa have to do with your broadcast?
I don't know, but
isn't Samoa, you know, in the tropics, you know, near
Hawaii? Well, I don't know. We can talk about this more. We got like 1 minute left, but I tell you, 6 hours, you know, that's what Blog Talk Radio is on, and I guess they changed their whole time format. We thought we were on American time this morning. We were ready to do this show in about 11 o'clock a.m. This time, and then contact you for another show. Mm-hmm. And then we find out that...
I thought you were broadcasting from Fiji.
We have 56 seconds, but yeah, I was actually, you know, I was shocked to find out that we're actually 6 o'clock p.m. tonight, and that, so I had to do the math, and I'm thinking, well, maybe if Karen comes on, it'd be 3 o'clock. So, you know, we could talk about this after the show ends. I'll call you back because it's going to be over. Yeah, then we can reschedule. So the announcer on the other end telling me that we got 26 seconds. But so I just want to say goodbye to everybody on Blog Talk Radio. It was wonderful having this, you know, conversation with you, and we just ask that the Lord would just touch you, touch everyone, with His power and in His glory. We thank you. Have a wonderful Easter. We'll talk to you tomorrow, actually, Palm Sunday. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.